Oh, okay. Okay, let's call the meeting to order. It is 9:11, and the clerk will take the roll. We don't quite have a quorum yet, and so we're not going to approve the minutes. Representative Severson is here. We were given a target and ways and means yesterday, and we're in continuing conversation about how to handle the whole issue with the vets piece, and I think we may end up dual tracking. I believe that this bill has to go to taxes. Is that his last stop?
Yes, Mr.
Okay.
That's correct.
And what I think we may do is take out the tax provisions. We have most of the policy provisions. Representative Severson and I have been talking, and that's in our omnibus bill. We may do what Representative Severson does today for an amendment to conform to the target we were given. And in ways and means, then, we may, since Representative Solberg's on that committee as well, we may have an amendment to reflect what we do today to dual track it. So in case there's something that falls to the wayside, we've got two or three places that were in play. But the tax items would not go in probably because of the nature of my entire omnibus bill going to taxes, and who knows if it'll ever come out again. So.
And Mr. Chair, I believe that the taxes on this bill already has that provision of this package in it.
Okay.
So that would be repetitive. So
very good.
That sounds like a good plan.
We're still one short. Okay, we're one short of a quorum yet, but why don't Representative Severson, we left off talking about the financing. We went through all the policy provisions. Do you have any changes to the policy provisions, Representative Severson, or are those all roughly the same?
I have three amendments and one oral amendment, Mr. Chair and members.
Okay. Why don't we bring up the A11 look okay?
Yes.
It says assistant web manager, information officer, incentive-based, etc. Can you just give us a brief description of what this does? Is it mainly clarifying some things that we talked about last week or this week?
Yeah, I'm going to ask Mr. Clary if he could speak to this one.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Severson and members, these are some small language changes recommended by the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs to give them just a little more leeway in how they extend the funding.
Are we on A11?
We're on A11. We're just discussing that one, correct? Representative Solberg.
I noticed the deletion on the Amendment 1.3, we're deleting 31 to 32. It's actually 233, I guess. It seems to provide less flexibility. the commissioner's ability to provide financial security, family therapy, and other similar needs for those veterans. So if we delete that, then it seems to me like appropriation is just for the veteran itself. And if the family needs some type of services, that we're taking that out.
Hey, Commissioner, are you in the audience to maybe clarify that? Are the families still eligible since we talked about soldiers' assistance? Good morning.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Clark Dyrud, Commissioner of Veterans Affairs. The Soldiers Assistance Fund was created in 1943, and it was designed to help veterans and their families. And so the idea is that this is a fund that already is in existence. And what we were looking at there is we wanted to be sure that we weren't tying in or prohibiting the ability to use those funds for veterans, their families, and their children. In other words, this, you know, could we only use the funds for family therapy? You know, we want to be able to use it for family therapy, but we want to be able to use it for other programs that would help the spouses and the children, and as well as the veterans, such things as dental, optical, emergency medical, things of that nature. So we want it to be less restrictive language on the program that already is in place, but is very underfunded at the present time.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I read this, it says the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs for that fund are used to assist veterans. If we stop there, that restricts you to use those funds for veterans. When you on line 31, where you say, or other similar special needs, that seems to me to give you the flexibility that you want. I suppose the definition of a veteran is if they're in trouble with their family, then it's providing it to the veterans, but it's, you know, I suppose, and yeah, flexibility is in the eyes of the beholder, but I'm just kind of questioning whether or not that's really the intent to give it flexibility, but I'll defer to the commissioner on that.
So do we think this language will work in terms of...
Okay. Staff helps me out. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. All right. We do have a quorum now, by the way, so the clerk will note that we do have a quorum present. Representative Solberg, are you comfortable with the language? Okay.
I got to read it off.
Okay. Representative Kahn on the A11 amendment?
No.
Okay. The chair will move the A11 amendment. Any further? Okay. We'll move that House File 2921 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Taxes. And then we'll move the A11 amendment, which we've, this is kind of the clarifying stuff. Any further discussion? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The A11 amendment is adopted. We have the A8 amendment, Mr. Cleary. Is this just a technical one?
Yes. Mr. Chairman and members, the A8 amendment was suggested by the Department of Revenue and our tax staff, Nina Monzi, and Health Research, our tax staffer, to clarify. It simply clarifies that the bill would do what it's supposed to do, what it's intended to do, and that is it would apply to the pension income of regular full-time military in all branches, as well as regular reserves in all branches, as well as National Guard, and also the Survivor Benefit Plan, SBP, for those who, for survivors.
Okay.
So it's a clarifying amendment.
Very good. The chair will move the A8 amendment. Any further discussion on that one? Seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. And the A8 is adopted. Representative Severson, the last one we have is A12. I assume this is a conforming amendment for the target we were given yesterday in Ways and Means?
That's correct, Mr. Chair, and we've taken the $3 million and distributed as we had determined the need in the programs. It was kind of a bloody cut, but we believe that the distribution that's outlined in this particular amendment will best serve the general purpose of the bill.
Hey, Representative Severson, we can't send a bill out of a finance committee with a blank in it, and I see that there's a... which one is that?
It's the
9-9
the grant program, the CDSO grant program.
Could we move to get some placeholder? Can we just move like $100,000 or $200,000 out of like the top one, and so we've got this alive, and then maybe if we scrape up more money, we can bump up the number, but we can't move it out of committee with a blank in it, really.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, and I would move that we take line 1.2 and put $2,300,000 and place $100,000 in the CVSO for line 1.4.
Okay, Ms. Roberts, you have that? Okay. The chair will move the A12 amendment, and we will incorporate the change Representative Severson just outlined, which is on 1.2 to delete $2.4 million and insert $2.3 million, and the blank on line 4 would be $100,000 where the blank is. Any discussion on that amendment? Representative Solberg.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I know you were dealt a tough hand, and I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so. And it seems to me that I think most of the services that are provided by the veterans, at least in my area, when the veteran has to need for some services, the first place that I direct them to is the county. And I think in that particular program is what the governor had recommended, you know, one of the major steps to help fund the counties. And to go from $3 million to a $100,000 placeholder, I think, is not serving the veterans very well. But you're making an amendment.
I don't disagree, Representative Solberg, but you know, the game of expectations that are set up by some people around this Capitol complex get thrown out there, and sometimes they're higher than what the budget allows. And Representative Severson's suggesting the best he can, I think, under the circumstances. So, you know, nonetheless, in a non-budget year, we're still increasing the budget, and we're not through the process. So once we get to conference, or as we get through Ways and Means, we can find more money, we're certainly going to, this is going to be our highest priority. Representative Conn?
Well, I will make the comment. One of the comments is, one of the ways that we could find some money is to look at the issue of consolidating county veteran service offices. I don't know if they've done any voluntary consolidation, but, you know, it's obvious there are, what, two or three people in the office in Hennepin County. That could be the model for the rest of the state. It's some very small amount. The point is the idea of having a veteran service office in every county when we're, and then thinking that that's a sensible staffing thing when we look at the population distribution around the state, it's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, I thought in the state government bill we had some last-minute amendments that were quite sweeping. I thought maybe we'd have the consolidation of county amendment pop its head up or something.
If this had been in that bill, it would have been a good place to put it. You know, but I guess, and I understand the sensitivity of people in small counties who don't like to see these services done, but I think the way to do it is to do it with a grant program that has an incentive to do. Just, you know, it's similar to the centralized school issue that we did. Make it really a positive thing for veterans, county service organizations to consolidate. And this would be a good program to do it with.
Representative Severson.
And I know, Representative Conn, I know you always come up with some great ideas, and I think part of the process in this whole bill is to try and identify ways that we can help the veterans that we're in the kind of the primary stages. We've seen some of the veterans come home. We've seen some of the problems that they've been encountering. And this distribution of funds is really to try to see how we can best address that. The $100,000 for the website, I think, is you know, not optimal, but I think we can work with it. I think the working with the Department of Administration, as you had talked about, we can make that happen. Also, with the grant program for the CVSOs, I think it's going to take a little while to ramp that up, and I think this $100,000 will get us the seed money that we need to initiate the training in that program, and then hopefully in the next year we'll be able to appropriate more to better fund them, or later on in the session as we go into negotiations to try and beef them up. With the 1.5, we're going from 2.6 to the 500,000. I know that was a major point of interest in this committee last time we talked about this. We've kind of revisited, and I think there's a proposal that the commissioner will come forward with in just a moment here, talking about ramping up probably on the major campuses, the ones that we know that are going to be hit significantly with returning veterans, and to be able to train them and have that process go into phase one, if you will, of probably three phases, where this is the first phase where we start the training, and then it goes into the next two when the funding increases, if we can get that.
Okay, we'll take some more questions, and then Ms. Roberts has a change that she found that needs to be made.
That on my 19th.
Under the higher ed stuff?
That was my...
Oh, okay. I think she's explaining.
Do you need to include that, Mr. Chairman?
Representative Krenke?
Okay. Are we on an amendment?
We are on the E-12 amendment. Ms. Roberts has another change that we need to talk about that we want to incorporate, so we know what exactly what we're discussing. Representative Hilty?
Well, I apologize for being late this morning, Mr. Chair.
All right.
So maybe this has already been discussed, but I note that as the E-12 amendment stands currently, that adds up to $3 million, which is the target that was set for the State Government Finance Committee in Ways and Means yesterday. Is that where the $3 million is going entirely?
It's entirely going to veterans, which I don't know if the committee feels that the money should go to somewhere else, but we did some internal changes in the bill yesterday, and they felt that most of us wanted the money should go to veterans before anything else. It was a little difficult as they're doing targets while we're marking our bill up. So let me just re-explain, because we had three people that were missing when I explained it. We will probably dual-track this issue. The bill is being recommended to pass and go to taxes to handle the tax exemption for retired military. The plan would then be that we take the financing for veterans, engross it into an amendment, minus the tax piece, which will go to taxes with the entire bill, and we would put the $3 million of financing in Ways and Means to reflect what the committee wanted. And since the I know the four of us are on Ways and Means, and we would be able to follow that.
So do you, Mr. Chair, do you have another bill that you're attaching this to? Are you introducing
This would go to the into the omnibus bill in Ways and Means. But we want to make sure we finish today so we can engross whatever we do today. But it would not include the tax items, because that has to go to the tax committee. So it would only be the financing pieces that relate to the veterans article.
You're putting it back in the state government.
Yeah, right. And then we would also send those the big veterans bill to taxes for them to deal with the tax. The tax issue target is against Representative Krenke's target, not my target. So does that make sense to everybody?
Yes.
Okay, Chairman,
Representative Krenke?
There's a... the tax provision has already been introduced in the governor's tax bill.
Right.
So I don't know that, the other option is you can strip the tax provisions out and send the bill to Ways and Means.
Okay.
You
already heard it?
Yes, we had a long time. The commissioner was up testifying on it in tax and everything.
Okay, so... Representative Severson, what's your preference? Would you want to strip out the tax provisions and send the whole financing and policy mechanisms right to Ways and Means?
Mr. Chair, I would prefer not to do that. I know that we've been given the opportunity through Chairman Krenke to hit taxes again. I know that I had a lot of people that wanted to have a voice. That's part of the process of this bill, is to allow us to let the people have a voice in why they think this provision needs to be in there. I think that's an important part of this process.
Mr. Chairman, we'd
prefer to do that.
Representative Muller.
Mr. Chairman, we have the tax chair here. I'm on the other side, and I don't find him as cutting off people. And we're having another hearing, I'm sure more than one hearing more on the tax bill. In fact, when did you say it's the 16th before we even started, or 7th, what was it? Before we even start looking at amendments, so
it is rare that people want to go to the tax committee. Even if it's rare. Remember when we used to be on Gov Ops and we would unanimously pass the bills to state government finance, and all the witnesses would be horrified.
Mr. Chairman, you were not, but Phyllis and I were with Representative Krenke when, for a time, his LA was putting a sign that I made up, and it was called the Valley of Death Committee, and put it on the front of the table.
I must have had too much coffee this morning, Mr. Chair. I don't know what I'm saying. No, but we do. We would prefer, and I know Chair Krenke has been very gracious, and if he was willing to do that, we'd like to have that here.
Okay, the motion's on A-12, and Ms. Roberts had some conforming amendment. Ms. Roberts?
Mr. Chair, the amendment needs to be adjusted to reflect the fact that on page 9 in subdivision for the Higher Education Veterans Assistance Offices, there's an additional $100,000 that's appropriated to the Board of Trustees for Minsku, and that $100,000 is actually being tracked in the Higher Ed Committee. So the changes would be on... I don't know if it'd be easier to work off the language or the amendment. On the amendment, it would be on line 1.5, where delete 2.6 million, change the 500,000 to 600,000. So that would include the 500,000 that's being tracked in the state government finance target plus the 100,000 for the higher ed target. In addition, we need to add another line on page 9. Line 19, delete 2.5 million and insert $500,000.
Okay, that makes sense. We'll incorporate that into the amendment. Okay, Representative Cotton, on the finish the amendment. Okay, any other discussion on A-12? Okay, seeing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. Okay, that amendment's adopted. Representative Kahn, you had an amendment, oral or otherwise?
It's an oral amendment suggested to me by Mr. Cleary after my discussion, after my comments. And there's it's been given to me in a pretty prescriptive way, but it could also be made a little bit less prescriptive. That's page 9 after line 15, insert, this funding must be directed, and that could be changed to may be directed, to assisting counties in consolidating their county veteran service offices into bi-county or multi-county service offices.
Hey, can you read that one more time?
This funding, and the issue is, you want to say must or may, this is on the incentive-based county veteran service offices.
Okay.
I'm comfortable with a may, which I imagine might go, but either way, this funding may be directed to assisting counties in consolidating their county veteran service offices into bi-county or multi-county service offices.
Okay. Representative Milkey, are you thinking about Pine County, or what's your comment?
Well, I usually try to think about Pine County, Mr. Chair, along with a couple others. Representative Kahn, first of all, it's not clear to me why they need any money to do this.
Wow.
And second, I think about counties with which I'm familiar, the ones that I represent. You know, in Pine County, the veteran service officer also has a number of other duties, including what used to be called the emergency management office. I think that's some kind of homeland security thing now. But if we encourage consolidation of veteran services, what would be the implication for the other jobs that those people are performing?
Well,
Representative
Mr. Chairman, that's why I think I'm more comfortable going with the may than with the must, just to get this topic on the table. I think that's, you know, the counties would look and see if it made sense. Maybe it makes sense for the person who's doing the emergency management to do it for more than one county. To do it for more than one county, too. Maybe there are counties somewhere where they haven't made that dual job track. So I'd definitely like it to be a may instead of. And even so instead of.
You're saying at the bottom that you would assist counties to consolidate, but
yes.
In the upper part it says that it's for enhancing benefits and
yes.
programs.
Yes, well, it could. I think that consolidation could enhance benefits and programs. For example, one county could have a veteran service office that specializes in financial problems. Another one could have one that specializes in human service type problems, and they could then be able to give a much wider range of. You could have one person who specializes in the problems of children, and in fact, let me even take out directed, so this funding may be used in assisting counties. So it's just getting this concept out of the idea of consolidation on a voluntary basis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. just have to speak on behalf of the rural counties. I'm just thinking that access, I know you're saying may. Representative Kahn, I've been here a short amount of
yeah.
time, but long enough to know that you and Representative Seifert are good at starting with a may, but next year a one-word change becomes a must. It's, I just,
I was,
becomes a wasn't it a 15 becomes a 5, I think is
yeah.
what you meant.
It's going to be a big cardboard list.
The May to must is not a salami technique. That's a totally.
Representative Finn said you have the point.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm going to oppose this amendment.
Well,
I just fear that. The access issue. I just look at Brown County, Redwood County,
sure.
Lyon County. I mean, we would literally have veterans driving hours to an office if they need a specific
okay.
service on a specific day. So
yes.
I just question how logistically it would work, and maybe the department could address that for me Is this a well-founded concern or
the
Commissioner, Representative Severson, your thoughts on this, Commissioner?
Mr. Chair, Representative Finspitt, the language creating the county service officers in 1945 made the allowance that counties can go together and in joint to share the duties of a county service officer. Historically, the counties, the rural counties, just have not done that. Very recently, there is one or two counties, I should say, that have done that: Pope and Stevens. There's 20 miles between county seats. From one corner to one county to the opposite corner of the other, I think it's, I forget that, but they're very small counties side by side. So in that case, it appears to be working, but you hit the nail on the head. The idea is travel for small, in rural areas, for the small number of veterans. Where I come from originally, northwestern Minnesota, it would make ideally sense to combine counties based on veterans' population. But you would have people literally driving 150 miles from one quarter to get down to another. So I mean, that has been the main reason why counties haven't joined. But they've had that ability to do that.
Commissioner, there's only two counties that share, like Traverse and Big Stone. I mean, Traverse County is like 4,000 people, and they
exactly.
have their own veterans.
Exactly. They do. But
Big Stone, I think, is about 6,000 maybe.
Yeah. And what happens is there's many counties. Well, like the Woods County has, I think, 160 veterans, but their county service officer works out of his own home. He is paid, I think it's like $10,000 a year or something. I mean, it's a very small amount, and he has obviously several other jobs. There's a large number of veteran service officers. I know Grant works Monday morning and Friday afternoon. He works two half days a week. You know, so I mean, there are, but they are fiercely independent of their own. They do not want to have to go, to another county.
For my amendment,
because of the distance involved.
Representative Kahn and the
Chairman, obviously, in making this voluntary, it's something just, again, to point out that it's something that ought to be looked at. And, for example, if service was available for 4 days instead of 2 days, it might be worth making that job. Second of all, in Hennepin County, I imagine by the time you've driven to the Hennepin County Service Center, parked, and waited online, for how many people are there in Hennepin County Veteran Service?
Right now, four.
That's a quarter of the population of the state. So all this is to bring the issue back again in front. See, and I'll point out that the idea of the school, specialized school districts, which is some other bill floating around for this again, was brought up by a rural legislator, not by a metro legislator. And it was brought up by him to be able to build a really very good, high-quality school in southwestern Minnesota, much better than any of the districts could do. And the carrot was put out that you got this grant only on consolidation so that you get a superb, because none of the schools were willing to give up their teams, their colors, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I've been in that school. It's a spectacular school. So I think this is just calling attention to what they can do and they haven't done. I think this fierce independence is not something that gives us really good service. And I think it's just, that's why I wanted to change it to a May, and it's only dealing with another grant program. So I would urge us to put it in.
Representative Mullery, and then we'll take a vote.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Severson, I'm glad you kept strong in the Subdivision 1. That's really needed. I am sorry to see that we're cutting this money for the veteran service officers, because I think that's the second best part of this bill. There's a lot of help needed, and originally when Representative Kahn read this, I didn't think it was a good idea. The more I thought about it, and after talking to the people in Hennepin County, there are so many complicated issues that have arisen as the commissioner I'm sure knows, for veteran service officers, that these, you know, two half day or whatever it is, if the full-time staff in Hennepin County are even to somewhat divided into specialties, and they can't keep up on their own specialty with regard to the knowledge of the program. So I think that, I hate to agree with Representative Kahn, but I really, and I also think we're totally taking away from the wrong area. I don't think we should be putting all this money into the universities. I think that if we kept them, or in colleges, I think if we kept the kept these people under the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs and could be assigned out to as needed to either counties or to colleges at certain points when there may be a large enrollment for a couple of months at a college, I think that would make an awful lot more sense than devoting all this money that we are there and cutting the what is a known need. And that's the veteran service officers. But we do have to do something, like you point out, counties where they're close together and aren't working. We've got to do something to get them working together, because I'm sure that maybe the commissioner knows, but if Hennepin County, the ones there that specialize, tell me they can't keep up on the changes and get it for their own specialty, how can somebody that's working 2 hours or 3 hours a week keep up on things? There's got to be some type of efficiency, and just even far more than efficiency, but the help to the veterans that are needy, that aren't getting served out there.
Okay, are we ready to vote?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Krenke, real briefly.
Can we have the amendment read back so we know what we're voting on?
Oh, okay. On? Is it Mr. Shepherd had it, or Mr. Cleary, or Representative Kahn?
I have Cleary's language that this funding may be utilized to assist counties in consolidating their county veteran service offices into bi-county or multi-county service offices. So
and
optional, not directed. I took the must out and the directed out.
Okay, and
Representative Krenke.
Mr. Chairman, do we have the commissioner comment on whether he's a
commissioner
or doesn't like the
or against? Is it up to the committee? Neutral?
Mr. Chair, having been commissioner for only 1 year, I would like to stay as neutral as possible.
Up to the committee, whatever you want to do. Okay, Representative Kahn read the amendment. It'll be on page 9, insert under 9.15. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay.
Nay.
amendment does not prevail. Okay, those in favor of the amendment, please raise your hand. Okay, those opposed, please raise your hand. Okay, the chair has bad ears. There being 5 ayes and 4 nays, the amendment is adopted. Okay, make sure.
Divided bipartisan vote.
Then this committee. Make sure Mr. Shepherd or Cleary has that amendment, Representative Kahn. Okay, any other amendments to the bill?
Mr. Chair, I have one oral amendment.
Okay, please state it.
On page 9, line 9.23, between the word college and insert private colleges, comma. So it reads, students at Minnesota State Colleges, private colleges, and universities, and the University of Minnesota who are veterans.
Actually, I think MINSCU, it has to go after the word universities. It's Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. That's the 2 year,
that's correct.
4 years. Okay. Yep. So be the amendment would be after universities, comma, private colleges, and the university. And the University of Minnesota. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Any discussion on that one? Okay, those in favor say aye. Okay. The chair will move that. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed nay. Okay, that one passes. Okay, any other discussion on the bill?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Mallory.
Mr. Chairman, coming over here since I was driven off the road by a veteran who had on the back of his pickup truck in God We Trust painted on it and then U.S. Marine. And he was trusting in God. He was driving. Cars were shooting off everywhere to avoid him coming over. So having a bill coming up to give him a lot of money isn't a good time, but I really do. I would like to be putting, and I think that more of the money that's directed in Representative Severson's bill towards being the fourth state in the country to do what he wants to do with pension exemptions. I would rather take a lot of that money and put it into where it's really needed, which is helping veterans that are needed. But despite this morning's experience, I'll go ahead with this.
Okay. Right. Representative Fulbert.
Just on that issue, you don't receive very many emails. But on the pension exemption, I received two emails for and four against from veterans. And the veterans have said, I want to make sure I pay my fair share of taxes and provide programs for veterans that don't need it.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the motion is to send it to taxes, so it's, I guess then it'll go to Ways and Means, so it's got a couple stops yet for the register.
That's correct, Mr.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any other discussion on the bill? So the motion is, Mr. Shepherd will engross the financial portions, and since the committee did adopt Representative Kahn's amendment, we're going to engross that into the amendment. The committee made that decision, and that's the way it should be offered, so... even though the chair didn't vote for it, that's
chair will enthusiastic.
Well, that's the fair thing to do. That's what the committee decided to do. So he will engross that change in as well. Representative Kahn.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, actually, this is not something I think I can do to this bill, although I think it's related to it. I got an interesting email from somebody with a Wisconsin address. And it pointed out that Wisconsin has just passed the Veterans Bill of Rights just in this year. And there was some provision, and I can't follow all these provisions exactly about residency. There was a provision in there for some kind of tuition benefits.
Reciprocity.
It wasn't reciprocity. It was tuition benefits and serious, more than just giving residents tuition. But in order for the person to get it as a veteran, they had to have enlisted from Wisconsin. And I notice we have that provision here for graduate school from enlisting from Minnesota. We don't have it thoroughly. And I just think I'm obviously not prepared to put an amendment on to do this. But I think, Mr. Cleary, if you could, for the future time, if you could look up that Wisconsin bill, look up what the comparison is between the Minnesota benefits and start negotiating this as a reciprocity issue. I mean, this person was unhappy because even though they now lived in Wisconsin, her husband had enlisted from Minnesota, and so they were not eligible for this. But I think that's certainly something that we ought to at least look at doing on the reciprocity basis.
So noted.
Mr. Chairman,
is the Mueller?
I had forgotten about that, and I was concerned about why... Commissioner, what's the justification for doing tuition, for veterans from every state? This is not a common round-the-country language that I know of. Why are we doing this for somebody from Alabama or whatever? They decide they want to come to school here.
And Mr. Chair and Representative Mulry, the issue being that when these men and women go off to fight in the front lines there or wherever they're serving their country, they are serving just that, the country. And so when we put out a benefit out there that says, if you'll come to Minnesota and go to our university, we will charge you in-state tuition recognition of the service that you have done for our country. And really, the end game is a little selfish here for us as Minnesotans, because if they go to a four-year college here, they get their degree, they have established some type of cohesiveness or some type of a commitment to this state. And our hopes are that they will bring that talent here learn in our universities and stay here and become part of our communities. And so I think the part of the thing that drove that was that there were some issues with people coming from to our universities who were outside America, who were, you know, whether they're coming from China or they're coming from some of the other countries who are on our exchange program, and we're paying in-state tuition. And so if we're allowing them to come in and pay in-state tuition, why would we deny that in-state tuition to a member of our armed forces who has served his country?
Representative Mueller.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, can you find out what other states do this? Make a distinction just for veterans?
I don't know off the top of your head, but could your department find out how many states offer this similar benefit?
Mr. Chair, we could certainly try.
Mr. Chairman, I think Minnesota is probably the only one of the few states that offer tuition at all for veterans.
Well,
you know,
the Wisconsin one was a better benefit, I thought. It was just like no tuition.
But, and Mr. Chair, again, I think one of the things we need to understand that is these veterans, when they're coming back and they're going to college, they're typically on the GI Bill or they're on other things that, you know, the federal government is paying for their tuition.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if the federal government is paying it for their tuition, why would we reduce their tuition?
Mr. Chair?
Commissioner, you have an answer for that one?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg. The GI Bill typically does not cover entire tuition. It's a fixed amount. And it varies a lot depending on how many months a veteran has served. And so it is typically, I don't know if it's safe to say it averages $1,000 a month, but they get, it's sometimes less than that. They get that just a flat rate. And out of that, all their schooling needs, tuition, fees, books, you know, living expenses, everything. I mean, they get a flat rate. So it isn't, tuition is not paid for by the GI Bill.
Okay. We're going to move this to taxes then. Representative Severson, by looking at the top of this bill, you will, after you go to taxes and ways and means, you will have gone to more committees than any other bill that I... that I know of, and I know Eminent Domain went to six of them, so you'll be at seven, I believe.
Well, this has been been a great experience, Mr. Chair and members, going through the different committees, getting the different feed, and part of the purpose of this bill, too, is to educate not just on the House floor, but committee members en route who have participated in this bill with its various areas and begin to understand that the real implications that we have put together on this bill is to make Minnesota a veteran-friendly place. The provisions for the first portion there, where we are bumping up the $2.3 million going to to the SSA account, we are going to have a number of soldiers, warriors coming back from conflict in the next year, and then the following year after that 2,600 that have just deployed will be coming back, and we're looking at some significant issues with those people coming back, being able to serve them with our current budget, and that's why we put the $2.3 million. Hopefully we'll get some more in that as we go into negotiations into that particular area. And again, the service officers and the website and the county and the higher education representatives all play a big part of a picture. We're trying to create a net here where when the warriors come back, that they aren't slipping through the cracks, that we can actually have the funding that can address them and make it the most efficient system. So this is a network that has been put together in this bill, and we appreciate your support.
Okay, and the motion is that House File 2921 be recommended to pass as amended and be referred to the Committee on Taxes. Any further discussion? Representative Kroenke.
No, Bill's got to go to rules. Missed the deadline.
Does finance have deadlines? I thought it was his policy committees that had that. Oh, everybody?
Second deadline.
Okay. I guess we have to go to rules, and they'll gavel it through to taxes. Does that sound okay, Representative Severson? Okay. Well, you don't have a choice, so even if it doesn't sound okay, I guess we have to do it. Okay.
We want to make sure he gets to
follow
stop
those. We hate to follow the rules. Sorry.
I want to beat that. Six.
He's going to be at seven or eight committees. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I just have a question.
Real quick.
Representative Severson keeps referring to warriors, and I just wondered if a friend of mine, her husband is spending his entire 20 years in the playing baritone in Washington, D.C. Is he a warrior under this?
Yeah. Part of the army.
I've seen them marching in the rain. That's a war zone there.
Okay. All right. The new motion is that House File 2921 be recommended to pass as amended and be referred to the Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration for the purposes of deadlines. Those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Okay, that bill is passed. Congratulations, Representative Severson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Okay, members, we will have the financial portions of this minus the tax piece for Ways and Means with the con amendment on it engrossed and ready for the omnibus bill whenever it's going to be brought up. We assume next week, but we're not sure. Next meeting is on Tuesday. We have Tuesday is going to be the wonderful world of pensions, and we will have the Smith pension bill and the Osment pension bill. And those two bills are going to be, hopefully, we'll have enough time to get them both done that day. And depends on how many amendments we have and so forth. On Wednesday, we do not have a meeting scheduled right now, and I don't believe that we're going to be expected to meet on Wednesday unless we have something pop up that's urgent. And we will get back to members on the tour of the state auction facilities in Arden Hills. We had kind of a request for that. And we also need to be scheduling the Starbase tour that Representative Kahn promised us about a month ago. Okay, meeting adjourned.